And you may be seated, and thank you for standing. What a great hymn. And David, thank you so much for leading that great song that helps all of us to be reminded from time to time just how wonderfully blessed we are in the United States of America. And, you know, we have a tendency sometimes to forget unless it is election time, or perhaps we're celebrating our country's origin on July the 4th, or perhaps it may be Veterans Day, and or it may be Memorial Day. But every day of the year, you and I should always be eternally grateful for this great country. David mentioned a moment ago, and it is true, this coming Tuesday, you and I will have the privilege and the honor of being able to let our voice be heard concerning the future of this country. And so make a note to vote. It really is important. God has given you that privilege. And if we neglect that privilege, then it is to our own dismay. You know, people talk today about voter guides. I've had people tell me, you know, have you seen a voter guide? I'm going to tell you, I've seen it many times, and the greatest voter guide in all of the world is the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. And I would hope that this coming Tuesday you would be guided not by party affiliation, but by the Word of Jehovah God. And, you know, our faith ought to be at the election poll. And people should know where we stand concerning this great country in which we live, we call America. And it is tragic that we are losing many of what we call the mores of society. And perhaps our core value system that really made this country what it is, the land of the free and the home of the brave. But why should you vote in the general election? Too many times people say, well, you know, my vote doesn't count. Yes, your vote does count. It does count. And I can tell you that it is one of the great ways that we have opportunities to express our opinions politically. And not be afraid to do that. You know, a lot of people have opinions. As a matter of fact, everybody has an opinion, I suppose. And if I were to ask you your opinion, you'd probably tell me. You may even tell me without me asking you. But I know one thing, that everybody has opinions. And when you really stop and think about it, it is an opportunity for us to convey our opinion to other people, and to stand up for our values and what we believe is right. I want us to take a closer look this morning at why we should vote. Just three major points here this morning. Number one, you and I should vote to support our moral values. You know, if we don't vote and if we don't elect men to public office who will represent us, and that's what those men in Washington are. They're not their own representatives, but they are representing the districts of the state of Texas, the states all over this great U.S. And we should be a people that should be standing up for our values. Let me ask you this morning, do people know what you value? What are your mores concerning society? We have a lot of values that have waned. A nation is known by what they treasure most in life. For in the book of Psalms 33 and 12, David said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Unfortunately, today we have some parties that do not believe and do not espouse the great values of the great God Almighty in heaven. And that's a great tragedy, isn't it? It is a tragedy. For your vote is your voice. And if you don't voice your concern, then you have no reason to speak at all. We have a rich heritage. I've told you before that I'm not superstitious, but I am a little bit stitious. And what I mean by that, the word stitious is an adjective, and it is defined, the act of being easily persuaded or gullible. And I think a lot of people are gullible in life. Someone can say that they're going to promise you the moon, and they never, ever deliver. Well, come Tuesday, you'll have the opportunity that you had 2 years ago during midterm to represent your feelings. Our moral values will not survive if they are not cherished and loved and protected. You know, when you look back at the decline of the Roman Empire, and I've done it many, many times, and I've developed lessons around that. Well, actually, a man by the name of Edward Gibbon detailed for us the Roman Empire and why it fell. And it's amazing that there is a tremendous parallel between what happened in Rome and what is now taking place in America. Let's take a look at some of these things. Will America ever fall? Is it possible that we could fall? Absolutely. Gibbon said, "The understanding of dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis for human society, is one failure in America today." When we fail to stand up for the home and marriage between a man and a woman, and we are failing tremendously in the eyes of Jehovah God. You know, Jesus said, "You're either with me or you're against me." It is as simple as that, isn't it? And so all of these expositors and prognosticators who'd like to tell you that we need to be so inclusive that we embrace all of the people who want to marry whomever they want to marry, that it is all right. God says it is a sin. He even called it worse than a sin in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. He calls such marriage and such behavior as an abomination in the sight of God. And Gibbon said the reason that Rome fell is that it espoused all of the ungodliness that we are espousing today in America, that we condemned at one time because the Word of God condemned it. Did you realize that one of the reasons that Rome fell was higher and higher taxes and the spending of public money, tax dollars, in a frivolous way? We have a lot of people today that say, "Well, I just don't get involved in the tax situation." You ought to be. If God taught it, I believe it, I accept it, and I will always follow it. And we should never be ashamed. But we have a lot of people that are spending your tax dollars up there in Washington without fair representation of the feelings of the people. That, to me, is a great tragedy. But we have an opportunity to change that. You know, for the last couple of years, we have done nothing but go downhill, folks. Downhill. Because we have disregarded the things that made America great. I don't see too many folks wearing Build Back Better caps, do you? There was that mad craze for pleasure and sports, and it becomes more brutal every year. You saw at the end of the Michigan and Michigan State game the other day and how some were ejected and thrown out for the rest of the year because they couldn't control their temper and their hostility. That, to me, is a great tragedy as well. The reason that Rome fell was because of the decay of religion. Our faith is beginning to wane. Our faith is beginning to fade into a mere form. We lose touch with life, and we're becoming an impotent people to guide other people. When you stop and think about these four reasons of the fall of the Roman Empire, does it tell us anything about our nation today? Why does America not respect and honor God? Very simple. Because many of our leaders don't fear and respect God. I'm afraid that many of them do not even know who God is or where they are. Character doesn't matter anymore. Not in the eyes of many of the people of America. God says it matters. Go back to the book of Romans chapter 1 and you'll find out about how much it does matter in the eyes of Jehovah. But we have become so accustomed to accept the low morals from many of our leaders. We just accept it and we go on. Rome didn't plan to fall. They didn't know they were going to fall. But they espoused all of the very things that led to their demise as a nation. And the same thing is happening to us. Scandals have become the norm. They have. You think about all the things that have happened in the last couple of years. Scandalous. And for some, they pay no price for their evil and for their ungodly ways. And others are brutalized. One of the reasons Rome fell, and it's true today, was the fact that they worshiped things instead of the one who made those things, and that's God. For in Romans chapter 1, Paul says they worshiped and served the creature instead of the Creator who is blessed above all. Now let me tell you something. When you start worshiping things instead of the one who made those things, you got a real serious problem. You see, the one who made the things is there blessing your life. I've told you many times, you want God to bless you, bless Him. David said in Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless the Lord with all that is within me." One of the reasons Rome fell was the fact that there was no fear of God before their eyes. And David said the same thing. Paul wrote about it in the New Testament in the third chapter of the book of Romans in verse 18. Think about it. There was no fear of God before their eyes. Our nation in many, many places feel today that there will never, ever be a reprisal for what they have done. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan." And you know what? There's a lot of groaning going on in America today. Dwight's sign this last week was a classic. When the ungodly rule, the ruled become ungodly. That's why you need to vote. There's some in office that need to be thrown out. I don't want the ungodly representing me in Washington, do you? Why doesn't America fear God? Because Christians don't fear God. We follow the world instead of following the Word. We worship tolerance to try to keep everybody happy. We worship tolerance and not the truth. We take no stand, and when we take no stand, we make no difference. God says to stand up and speak out. Shouldn't there be a return of the great values that we once espoused in this country? Have you ever really considered how God really looks at our country? There was a time when God wept over the nation. And you know what? His weeping only lasted so long. And then he said in Genesis chapter 5, I will destroy man whom I have created. For he is evil from his youth up. And God did destroy. And it is not beyond the possibility of God taking this great nation away from those of us who live here. For when we lose integrity and we lose our ethics, our values, our honesty, our respect, there is nothing left, folks. In Psalms 36 and 1, David said, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Because of the transgression that is within his heart. And by the way, all I can say about the United States of America and the House of Representatives is that it opens with a prayer, believe it or not, every day. Every day in America, when Congress is in session, it opens with a prayer to a God they do not believe in. And the prayer is offered in the name of someone other than Jesus Christ. What does that tell you about Congress? And it closes oftentimes with an investigation. Last year, 2 years ago, I should say, we would say, well, it just can't go on like this. Our economy is at the brink of collapse, as well as the morals of our country. And we giddily go our way. And you're right, it couldn't come, it's getting worse every day. But our Constitution, think about this, protects presidents, their children, their aliens, their drunks, and U.S. congressmen and senators and their children. The only difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. Our loyalty should not be to a political party, but to God and country. And I know that when you are loyal to God and country, you almost become a party person. We should love God, love our family, and love our country. And secondly, why should you vote? To help secure the future. I told you the future is as bright as the promises of God. And if everybody does their part, then we can make America great again. We should value God's family design. In Genesis 1 and 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him male and female, and he created them. And then in the second chapter, in verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, not the one he necessarily claims to love. Our president says you can just have a marriage with anybody. Man, woman, animal, whatever. But you leave your father and your mother and you're joined to your wife. And they become one flesh. And let me remind you also, as I've done many times from this pulpit, that there is a higher court to whom men and women stand accountable, and that is the court of Almighty God. And Paul would write, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is declaring to men everywhere that all should repent. Because he hath appointed a day wherein he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us the assurance that he hath, David saying it a moment ago, that he hath raised him from the dead. So God says to us, stand up, speak out for Jesus now. You know, yesterday afternoon I was driving around the loop and I saw some people out there standing, holding signs saying, vote for Jesus, or Jesus is our Savior. I thought, how commendable. Too many of us would never stand up anywhere and say, I love Jesus. The book of Ecclesiastes 12, King Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It will be brought before the court of heaven. And in Luke 12, 1 and following, the Bible says nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed from the very housetop. We should value God's design for marriage. If he created male and female, that's what marriage is, folks. That's God's family structure. And to those who espouse otherwise, let me remind you what Leviticus 18:22 says. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman, for it is an abomination. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. People tell me all the time, well, you know, you shouldn't judge. They go back to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. I always tell them not to twist the scripture and be like the satanic forces of the world who are constantly trying to malign the word of our God. We've got people today in America. You wonder why America has lost ground? In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, some call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. I think, how in the name of heaven could all of this be so topsy-turvy? It's the opposite of what the framers of the Constitution intended for this country to become. Faith and family values. But families are often fragmenting and dividing because someone is not teaching the Word of God. The godly family is based upon love, value, sacrifice, helpfulness, responsibility, trust, commitment, relationships, respect, and love for God. But number three, why should you vote? Because your honor, your American freedom. Our loyalty needs to be first, last, and always with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Always. But in too many places, the cross is never mentioned. Matter of fact, some people don't want you talking about the cross. They don't. In Psalms 144 and verse 15, David said, "How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." Doesn't that tell us something? I think we need to send someone to Washington and preach a good hell and brimstone fire sermon to those who are sitting in the halls of Congress. Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." There comes a time in a nation when God has had enough. He literally lets go and turns them over to the sentence that they have passed upon themselves. We've been doing a series of lessons here in our Bible class on Sunday morning on self-incarceration. And we have at many, many times incarcerated ourselves to the evil that is in the world. And we have passed the sentence upon our own selves. To say it another way, they have deprived themselves of God's wonderful grace. But Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The First Amendment of the Constitution, and this is important, folks. I'm not trying to be just too political about this morning. But Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Isn't that wonderful? But it also says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And by the way, the reason I put that slide in there is I hope you're here tonight. My sermon tonight is entitled "The Jesus Opinion Poll." And if you're not here tonight, we kind of get the drift of where your opinion may lie. Congress shall make no law representing or respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, which has done much to destroy our country. I don't think the framers ever thought that the press would ever become so powerful. Nonetheless, it is the law. Or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of those grievances. Well, the bottom line is, what's our hope? Not in government. It's not in the military. It's not even in the genius of those who claim to be so intelligent in America, if there is any. Here is our hope, our only hope. David said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. For my help comes from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth." 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he said, "then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin," and listen to this, "and I will heal their land." I don't know of a greater time in the history of America when we needed a greater healing than we need right now. Our First Amendment freedom of religion is under serious assault. And we must be defending the First Amendment. But is there really anything that we can do to restore the values and to hold on to that which we claim to love and what we hold dear? The answer to that is yes. Yes. What can we do to restore values and secure our freedom? We once knew in America to say, "From now on, I will be responsible not just for myself, but for my family and for my friends and for my church." And we need to start searching ways that we might instill within our young people and in our own home the values of the greatest voter guide the world has ever known, and that's the Holy Scriptures. So may God help us to let our desires and our voices be heard among those, not just the municipality here in Anderson County or Palestine, but in our state and our national leaders. I'm so grateful for our governor. I've known him. I've met him. He grew up in Longview. I grew up 7 miles away. And until we restore law and order to this state, on the border and everywhere else, folks, we got serious problems that'll be coming down the pike. You can do something. And pray God that you will. You must be involved. You cannot sit on the sidelines any longer and allow the country to depart from God. The Lord has given us freedom. And if we fail to vote for those who will represent us in Washington and vote for that freedom and hold on to it, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We must say, it is our fault. I repeat, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people to whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And again, hear the conclusion of the matter. Here it is, fear God and keep his commandments. Job 28 and 28 says, to fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. I get it. Don't you? Do you get it? And pray for revival in America. How many more years will we be able to enjoy our wonderful freedom? People keep saying that democracy is on the ballot. And that statement, even though it is true, is often heralded by those who are guilty of the opposite of democracy, aristocracy. God blesses our nation as we bless him. So may God help us to become Christians by faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus in baptism. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many years, months, we'll be able to stand and continue to preach that. But I can tell you, as long as there is breath in this preacher of the gospel, it will always be taught. Maybe this morning you need to renew your commitment to Christ and God. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you've been a contributor to all the bad things that have been going on in America. Are you courageous enough to admit it? Are you strong enough to say, God, I need your help? And I will arise from where I am even now on this eve of our nation's congressional election. You can keep saying, one of these days I'll do that, or you can resolve right now to say, this is day one for me. Let us stand and let us sing.